You are listening to BensTorah.com.
Brushing teeth on Shabbos and some Gemaras that varied Gemaras, some of which one might not think would be relevant to anything practical, but we'll go through a number of issues with the Shaila of brushing teeth on Shabbos. Among them will be brushing teeth, among them will be using toothpaste, and among them will be dry toothbrush or wet toothbrush, as we'll speak about later. And we'll see how many of the different aspects of the sugya of brushing teeth we could get to. So number one, let's start with talking about toothpaste. So we have Baruch Hashem, if we have any dental shilas, we have Dr. Eisenberger. If we have any toothbrush manufacturing shilas, we have Jamie Friend, who's in the business of manufacturing toothbrushes. And we'll direct any of those directed questions to you. Jamie, so listen carefully. So we start with the Gemara in Shabbos, Kuf Mem Vav Amud Aleph. There's a Mishnah. Mishnah says, if you have a chavis, im ha'isan akuv, if there's a hole in the barrel, so you have to plug it up, right? Says the Gemara, lo yitan, you cannot put wax in the barrel, mipneishu mimareach, because that is mimareach. I was going to translate the word, but I don't want to translate the word. Mimareach is one of the 39 malachas. And what it means, or the context for the 39 malachas, is that it is taking leather, the way it's used in the Beis Hamikdash, was taking leather and smoothing out the leather, either by sanding it down, maybe by pulling out the feathers. If you're smoothing out a skin or a skin of a bird, but here we're not talking about leather. We're talking about smoothing out the wax on a barrel. So one of the common shilas that I get from seventh graders is what, Dr. Eisenberger? Wax on the braces. When you get your braces and the braces are cutting into your inner cheek, you want to put on wax. So according to this Mishnah, that should be theoretically a serious isser. Not only is it a serious isser, but look what Rabbi Yehuda is going to say. I'm Rabbi Yehuda, Maisa b'alfnei Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai be'arev in Arabia. The shaila came to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, somebody who plugged up a barrel and smoothed the wax on. I think this guy might be chayv chatas. That's a nice way of saying a potential isur d'oraisa. So when we talk about smoothing wax onto the braces, the suggestion that I sometimes give is, what did you say about chewing gum? Is that any better? Should that be better in halacha? Is chewing gum any different than wax? I don't know.
It's an eichel. It's not what's like eating ice cream, maybe.
Nah, but if you're putting it there specifically and smoothing it to take the position that you need with the intent of smoothing it out so it could, you know, fit in the right place in the right spot, I don't know. Okay, but either way, that's an issue. That's talking about wax. But we don't put wax. We don't take, you know, wax and polish our teeth. You wax your car with turtle wax, but not your teeth. So let's talk about something that's a little bit less, a little bit more viscous, a little bit more toothpaste-like than wax, like candle wax. So here, the Gemara, on that very Mishnah in Shabbos, the Gemara comments on Kuf Mef Vav Amud Beis in Shabbos. Mishka, what happens if you use oil to smooth oil on something? We're not talking about anointing on skin, but we're talking about something, I guess they had hardened. Do you ever see sometimes with honey, for example? Honey, after you have honey for a few months, sometimes it hardens a little bit. So oil also, the oil could harden a little bit. So you know, it's not wax, as thick as wax, but it's not as liquidy as, you know, runny oil. So what would be the status of that? Are you allowed to shmush that into to plug something up? Mishcha, machlokas. Rav says it's asr, Shmuel says it's mutter. Manda asa, Rav says it's asr. Why? It's a gzera. It's a gzera because of wax. And the other pin that says mutter because lo gezrinan. How do we paskin? So the Gemara concludes, Beferish amr slamish me derav, that mishcha is shari. So it comes out that if it's liquidy, it's going to be mutter. Okay, so let's hold that on. Welcome, Jamie. Good to see you. So we talked about wax on the braces. We talked about wax stuffing up a hole in the barrel. Jamie, please take a bowl. I'm sure you didn't eat dinner, if I know you well enough. But I just think about when you talk about clay or Play-Doh or other things of that material, those pliable types of materials that you shape and smooth, those presumably would all be problematic. Okay. Chewing it is not for the intention of smoothing something out. Remember, if you look at how it was in the Mishkan was literally the act of trying to make something that was rough to make it smooth. That is the nature of this melacha. So it's not that you're using something pliable. Because in the Mishkan, they weren't using something pliable. It happens to be. Oftentimes, when we use pliable substances, what we do with it is we smooth them out. You're a dentist and you make those forms and molds for teeth. So you do this all the time. You want to make sure it fits smoothly and whatever at the form that it needs to be. So you smooth things out. But that's not the malacha in the Mishkan of, it was the Mishkan wasn't even talking about pliable materials. Okay. So let's jump. The Mishnah Berurah, when I spoke about oil, the issue with oil, of course, we're not talking about anointing. You're allowed to pour oil on your skin and even rub your skin with oil on Shabbos. That's permitted. When the Gemara talked about oil possibly being prohibited, that was only oil that's a little thick. If the Mishnah Berurah makes this point in source number 4, in the second line, Dafka Shemen Av, there is a little bit of a concern. If you use thickened oil, that's less viscous. That's thicker, right?
It's like Hanukkah oil.
Yeah, like the cheap Hanukkah oil. That's more viscous, it's thicker, then it's somewhat similar to wax. You might get it mixed up. That's when it's going to be awesome. But stam oil, you're allowed to rub oil on your skin on Shabbos, assuming there's no medical, not medicinal, for medicinal purposes. On your skin?
Get a burn.
Oh, if you get a burn, so then you have an issue of refuah. So that would have to be mutter in the parameters of refuah. If it's a bad burn, and it's I'm not talking about a dangerous burn, but if it's a bad burn that you're not able to function normally, it's that painful, so then you're a chola who's allowed to do refuah, and you want to spread schmaltz, so schmaltz would probably be aser, aser d'rabbanan, because it's similar enough consistency to wax. It's a little thicker than oil, right? That's awesome. Okay. So the question that we have here, welcome Dr. Pinter and Mr. Veg, good to see you, Baruch Haba. And Mr. Bergman, hi. So we have here a definitive issur when it comes to wax, a issur d'rabbanan when it comes to thick oil. So do we assume that the consistency of toothpaste is like wax? No, definitely not. Like thick oil? Maybe. I'm saying, the commercials when you put the toothpaste on top of the toothbrush with that like double flow, whatever they call it, that back and forth with the flourish on top, and it just stays there. It stays in form, in position. That's just as viscous as thick oil, I assume. So it sounds to me that it should be, again, it sounds to me at this point in the shiur, that should be theoretically a problem. You're taking it and you're rubbing it. What's the difference if you think there's going to be a difference if you rub it on your skin or if you rub it on your teeth? Should that be a difference? Well, the mission was talking. We were talking in the mission about a barrel. I wasn't talking about skin. It was talking about a barrel.
The issue is not rubbing it. The issue is creating the form and we're smoothing the item itself. You're not smoothing the toothpaste.
Okay. So what do you mean you're not smoothing the toothpaste?
You're not smoothing the toothpaste. You're not making it into a specific shape.
Okay, fine. You're not trying to shape the toothpaste. Oh, and you squeeze it out of the bottle, even if you have a cool star shape like I once had years ago. That, the poskim all say, is not a problem. Right. But that you're not doing that. It's sort of you're just squeezing it out and it comes out. The tube happens to have a smooth lip, so it comes out smooth. I don't think that would be.
You're not changing
consistency. At which point? When you put it onto the toothbrush, you didn't change its consistency. Later, you will be changing the consistency. That we'll have to talk about it. When you brush your teeth, it changes its consistency. When you unshape. But the issue is not the shaping. The issue is the smoothing. The smoothing, the rubbing, and the smoothing. So let's try to get a little bit of a clearer position with that. Let's talk about a bar of soap. So bars of soap have been along for a long time. The Shulchan Aruch talks about the following. Says the Shulchan Aruch in Shin Chavav, Aser lirchos yada b'melach. You can't wash your hands with salt. I don't get that exactly, but okay, not important for us. The kosher came by Boris. Boris is it lie, L-Y-E? I don't really know what lie it looks like either. What?
Borax.
I don't know what borax is.
That's a
type of soap. Okay, maybe Boris means borax. Shekorin zayf. I think zayf is zayf.
It's powdered lye. It's what they used to make soap. It was used as a hand cleaner.
Zayf is probably the same thing. Okay, powdered lye. Fine. B'lashon Ashkenaz. Oh, b'sha'ar chelev shenimach al yada v'havei nola. So the Shulchan Aruch says that the concern that something is going to nimoach, melt, and change its form, that would be a concern for nola. Okay? Mishra points out, where do we see the concept of causing nola to being aser? So there's a Mishnah in Masechta Shabbos. It talks about chopping ice, and this gigantic, wide-ranging machlokas rishon. What's the problem with chopping ice? One of the opinions is that you're creating, taking the solid and doing an action and actively changing its form. Not just that you're letting something melt, but you're actively chopping it to change it to a liquid. But we're not going to talk about the nolad aspect today, although the poskim do raise that. We'll look at the next paragraph of the Mishnah Berurah, and that's what I want to talk about. I have a sefer Tiferes Yisrael, shekar, shekasav, debiboris, lie, shalana, shehiracha. It's soft. We use a soft lye. Again, is it powdered? I thought it was talking about some kind of bar of soap that was a softer consistency than our hard bars of soap. That's what I thought. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's what I thought it was talking about. He says, that's going to be asr because of mimachek, of smoothing out, just like we learned, k'ein ma de'isa, linyan shava, it's just like wax. So if he's talking about something like a bar of soap, we are saying that using a bar of soap could be asa daraisa. What are you doing? You're in the same way you smooth the wax into its smooth consistency. So too, when you take your bar of soap and you rub your hands on it, you rub it on your body, you're very much smoothing that bar of soap. Now, I agree. Why are you rubbing your hands on the bar of soap? Why are you rubbing the bar of the soap against your body? Because you like your soap bars to be smooth?
Yeah.
No, because you want to clean your body. So it's not going to be an isser of intent to smooth your bar, but rather it's a psik resha. Yeah, okay. So it's still a psik resha. But while you're trying to clean your body or clean your hands, you end up, it's psik resha dick, end up smoothing out the bar. Okay, and that is, in the eyes of the Tiferes Yisrael, psik resha on an issur daraisa. So if we assume that smoothing, again, that's talking about a bar of soap or something like that, if we're going to assume that toothpaste is similar to a bar of soap, it might be a question of, you're not brushing your teeth and smoothing the toothpaste onto your mouth with the intent of smoothing it, you just want to clean your teeth, I guess. But maybe it'll be an issur, a psik resha, an issur daraisa. Okay, so these are the questions. And one more issue to raise as far as the questions before we try to get to any answers or responses. So we have a fundamental Gemara that talks about the malachas of Shabbos. That's in Shabbos, Daf Hey, Ayin Hamad Beis. Baruch Atah Adonai Elohim HaMelech HaOlam Shehakol Nehiyeh B'Dvarav. So Rav Ashi is quoted to say three halachas. One of them is talking about Mechatech, were not important. The third is talking about Makom Patish, is not important. Look at the middle one. What I learned, look at the on the screen, if you're with me on the screen, this is source number 7, the bottom line of page 1. Hamimareach retia b'Shabbos, one who smooths out a bandage on Shabbos. We're going to have to translate the word smooth out. We're going to have to translate the word bandage. We know what Shabbos is. Chayav mishum memachek. That's an iser d'araisa. That's chayav mitam memachek. What does Rashi say? Go to the next page, tap the next page, like Rashi. Mimareach retia, says Rashi, machlik, you smooth out, tachboshes, a bandage al hamaka. So, tachboshes is not the cream. Tachboshes is the bandage. Or is tachbosh the cream? In modern Hebrew, it's a bandage, not cream. When I was learning Hilchos Refuah B'Shabbos, I think we had a discussion with the word tachboshes meant bandage or cream. I don't remember, it slips my mind right now. Simple explanation is a cream. It is a bandage, I mean. Hold on, give me 1 second, please. What is this Isser, which he's describing as an Isser Daraisa? Is he saying, it sounds like if you put a cream, bacitracin, on a bandage and smooth the bandage onto your body, that would be an Isser Daraisa. That's what it sounds like. I don't think that's what it means. I think what it means that you put the bacitracin down on the bandage and you smooth out the bacitracin so that it's flat and smooth and equally thick throughout the whole area of the bandage. And then you take it and you apply it to your wound. I know that's not what Rashi sounds like. That's what Rashi sounds like. You're smoothing the bandage onto the wound. And I'm saying that I think it means that you're smoothing the cream, the medicine, onto the bandage. But I just remember when I was learning Hilchos Refuah B'Shabbos, I remember we were discussing what is the exact Isser of the Mareach Reti. It wasn't clear in the Rishonim. But we see that apparently smoothing, presumably something like some kind of medication, presumably, unless he's talking about the bandage, smoothing out the bandage itself. If it was a plaster, so if it was some kind of plaster, so if it was smoothing out the plaster itself, like the casts that they used a few years ago when we were in elementary school, they used those plastic casts. When you smooth those out, maybe that's what it is. That could be. But either way, what's important is that we see that it's an Isser Daraisa. So we're going to have to figure out, is this smoothing, whatever that we're learning about here, of Mereach Retia, is that going to be like smoothing the toothpaste on my teeth? In which case, if it is, then I'm really in big trouble because that's an Isser Midoraisa. Yeah.
When you put the Band-Aid on, there's adhesive on either end of the non-medicated area that you put some medication on the Band-Aid. That's what you're smoothing so that it stays on the skin.
So you're saying the smoothing has nothing to do with the medicine. You're saying the smoothing is to smooth out the bandage itself, like the literal reading of Rashi. Yeah, I'm not sure if it's, you know, when you buy a Band-Aid, the Band-Aids are pretty smooth, no? Before you put it on your body? So I'm not sure what the smoothing... When you buy a Band-Aid, you open up a Band-Aid from its wrapper. It's pretty smooth, isn't it? Yeah, so I'm not sure, what are you doing when you're putting it on and smoothing it out? I don't know how much smoothing that's involved there. I mean, it's not a pliable material. It's not like a material that could be bumpy if you wouldn't smooth it out. So I don't know if that's the smooth. What? Right, when you put on your sleeve or your glove and you pull it taut, I don't think that's mimareach. That's not smoothing out.
I'm not saying that it should be mimareach either.
Right, so I don't know if that's that would be the mimareach. Right.
You're not smoothing the area that has the medication on it. You're putting the Band-Aid onto the skin and making sure.
So I don't know if smoothing the adhesive part of the Band-Aid would be considered mimareach. I think it's probably more on some pliable substance.
I'm saying that's okay.
Right. Okay.
That's my. Also, if you don't touch the middle area, because then you're going to be squeezing out. Medication, you don't want that.
That's what I think I should say.
That you're pushing down the medication. And you're smushing down and you're maneuvering it so it's smooth well. That could be. Okay. So based on everything that we learned, let's jump, I don't know, 1,000 years. I'm sorry, let's jump from the Gemara's 1,500 years, straight to Rav Moshe Feinstein. Note that we're basically avoiding any Rishonim. We haven't mentioned the Rishon tonight, and we probably won't be, interestingly enough, for most part. What?
As of now, it's Aser.
As of now, we're suggesting why it could be Aser. And if it is Aser, in its worst case scenario, it could be Aser Midaraisa, toothpaste on Shabbos. So comes with Moshe Feinstein, and he has a very brief tshuva, which has no sources and no explanations. He just tells you how it was. It probably was a situation that he just didn't have time. That's what I'd assume. Or he felt it was so obvious, but which would be interesting because we'll see other poskim who assume that many of these points are not obvious whatsoever. But this is the tshuva, and I have it here for you from beginning to end. It's four lines, and each of the four lines is just, this is the halacha, without any explanation or sources. Uvidvar, says Rav Moshe, Orachayim, Chelek Av, Simur Kuf Yudbeis. Lenakel Shinayim v'Yishabes v'Yontif im toothpaste. Anyone know what toothpaste is? Pashat she'asur she'memachik. It's clear to me that it's asur because it's memachik. So all the things that we just learned, I don't know if he's saying it's going to be the Raish or the Rabbanan, but whatever we just learned of all the possible problems that it could be memachik, smoothing out, says Rav Moshe, that's exactly what happens when you put toothpaste on your mouth, on your teeth, on your shiny pearly teeth, and you smooth the toothpaste onto the teeth, that's going to be memachik. Now, in other tshuvas, when he would say something like this, he would go through the four sugyas that talk about memachik that we mentioned and show how through, from all the Rishonim, it ends up being like he proved, like he's saying. Unfortunately for us, he didn't. Okay, what about without toothpaste? Ubelo toothpaste b'habrush. Hamiyuchal is that, otherwise known as the toothbrush. If you do brush your teeth without toothpaste, mutter. Ah, then it's going to be mutter. Not just asur d'rabban. It's going to be mutter entirely to use a toothbrush without toothpaste. Why? He says it's no different than washing any part of your body. Kmo shehu kmo rechitzas sha'ar ever echad. Of course, you can't use hot water because that's a separate issue. We're not getting into that. But as long as you're using cold water, you're washing your left arm, you wash your left cheek, you could wash your left teeth. It's no different than washing, you know, you're just washing part of your body. And therefore, that should be mutter if you don't use any toothpaste. But now he adds, and it's important to see how he adds. He says, but, ve'es habrash, tov shelo lilach leach b'imayim kodem hanikoy. It's better not to moisten the brush in water prior to brushing. Michshash schita b'seyer, because it's squeezing out the hairs. Now, Rav Moshe is a smart fellow. For that reason, he doesn't say it's asur. He says it's proper not to do it, because he notes that this is not regular schita. Those who were here in Chamayev, I spoke about schita normally is schita out of a fabric. However, here, we're not doing the schita out of a fabric, which would be daraisa. Schita from hair is the nylon brushes. That's what I needed Jamie for. Jamie, what are the brushes made out of? Nylon filaments. What are those the brushes of the toothbrush made out of? Do you know? I don't remember. It's synthetic.
Yeah.
Synthetic. I assume it's nylon.
The Shabbos scrubbings are made of that.
Let's leave that for now. What? You'll tell me in a minute. Okay. So here and hair, the issues are the water is not absorbed in the hairs of the brush and then bristles of the brush. They are absorbed. I shouldn't use the word absorbed. They are captured and caught and entrapped between the bristles. And that is not asur d'oraisa. The Gemara says that explicitly that ein schita b'seyar. What does Rav Moshe say here? Don't use a wet toothbrush because of a chash schita b'seyar. Pretty funny, huh? He's even referencing the same words of the Gemara that says it's mutter, and he says, don't do this. Using the same exact words of the Gemara, schita b'seyar. That was the last two words, schita b'seyar. The Gemara says explicitly, schita b'seyar mutter. Rav Moshe clearly understands that when the Gemara says schita b'seyar mutter, it just means it's mutter midoraisa. It's still going to be because it's not a fabric where the water is absorbed into the fabric. Here, you just taking the water from between the bristles, between the hairs, and releasing them from where they were trapped, as opposed to fabric where it's actually absorbed into the fabric. Now, I know what you're going to tell. You're going to tell me that on a molecular level, that's exactly what's happening in fabric also. Fabric is just a series of tiny strings, and, you know, if you look at it under a proper microscope, you're going to see the strands of the fabric, and in between them, you're going to see some water molecules. You're squeezing the water out from between the strands. Right, but we don't look at things under the microscope. We don't look at things that small. We look at it, you know, like a human being would see it with their eyes. And water is absorbed into fabric. Water is not absorbed into bristles, just between bristles. That's only asur d'rabbanan. Rav Moshe says, therefore, you can't use a wet toothbrush. Finally, the last point of Rav Moshe. This tshuva is one of Rav Moshe's most famous tshuvas, I think. I don't know. For me, it is, because I've seen it many times. Whenever I'm nervous, am I like doing it right or not? I always remind myself to go through this tshuva. So every like 2 years, like, am I doing it right? Because like, there's so many, you know, we have my kid has a friend over, a third grader. And like, I tell my kids, you know, Friday night after the meal, okay, go upstairs and brush your teeth. And the third grade play date says, Oh, I'm not allowed to brush my teeth on Shabbos. So I always, like every 2 years, I have to remind myself that Moshe says, this is what I tell my kids. You brush your teeth without water, without toothpaste on Shabbos. And finally, the last thing that Moshe says has nothing to do with the brushing, but the rinsing off afterwards. Moshe says, don't wash your brush, toothbrush off after you brush, because it's a problem of hachana. Let's think about that for a second, because that's interesting. And I don't know if everybody would agree to that. When you rinse your hair brush beforehand, it's clear you can have a moist breath, brush. He says, don't do that. It's a chashash drabana. It's tov not to do that. It doesn't say it's us. It's better not to. Okay, we won't. When you rinse your toothbrush afterwards, it's because you want it clean for tomorrow, right?
No, then you wash it because you got to wash it before you use it tomorrow anyway. You're doing it now because it's disgusting.
That's, I have to be honest, I feel a little like Avi. This is what I do. I do what Moshe says. I brush my teeth, and then I leave it as is, and I put it down, and I feel disgusting. I picture, I don't want to be gory or graphic, but I picture like a million germs multiplying, and like climbing all over and like eating up all kinds of who knows what.
Would you wash the toothbrush in the garbage?
Would I still?
If
I was about to throw in the garbage, okay, you're right, I wouldn't. So you're saying tachana, because you're saying, but it's not. I'll tell you why. Let me twist something. Let's say, Ellie. Okay, let me say it better. Let me say it differently. And this, again, Ramosha says it, and this is what I do. What I do is I leave my dirty toothbrush without washing, and you have to train yourself because you automatically rinse off afterwards. So you have to sort of train yourself to hold back and not do it because of the sacharach shash. If you have milk for your coffee on Shabbos morning before you go to shul, 8:15 Shabbos morning, you have your coffee with milk. Do you put the milk back in the refrigerator? You're not going to have milk till you have malav and malka. You're going to have flacious for lunch. You can still be flacious by Shalosh Shudas. Are you allowed to put your milk back in the refrigerator? When are you going to use it next? You can use it for malav and malka.
When your wife will use it.
No. I finished. Everything's finished. What? Spoil for when? For malav and malka. That's hachana for after Shabbos.
Would you therefore not take it out for Shabbos, for your coffee, if you didn't put it back?
Okay, leave that far aside. I hear. So I'll tell you why the post can say you're allowed to put things back in the fridge. Or let's talk about a different, a more common situation. Shalosh Shudas. You're not supposed to clean up for Shalosh Shudas because you're not using the table. But you're allowed to put away all the things that will become less quality, you know, that will get worse by leaving out the cottage cheeses. When you have long Shabbos afternoons, you have milk for Shalosh Shudas, you're allowed to put away the cottage cheese and the yogurts and the sour cream and the milk and the cheesecake and all the things that need to be refrigerated.
Ice cream.
And the ice cream definitely is all going to melt. Why? Why is that all mutter? Because you're not preparing. You want right now that it shouldn't get ruined in this hour. In the next hour, from the time that you finish Shalosh Shudas till you're going to come home from Ma'ariv and be able to clean up, in that hour, you don't want it to get ruined for that hour of Shabbos. So when you have your milk in the morning, you want your milk not to get spoiled. Not forget about tomorrow. I want it right now not to be spoiled. So it's for Shabbos. So if that's the svara, I think I could argue, not like this Ramosha, that I want to rinse it off so that the bacteria don't multiply on it right now. Yeah. Right. Okay, that also. Right. It's harder. Okay, so Ramosha says clearly no toothpaste. That's clear. No toothpaste. The Minchas Yitzchak was asked. This is Diane Weiss, who does have some coolers in other areas. This won't be one of them. So he was asked by somebody who was asked by his Talmidim. So I guess Rosh Yeshiva or Rabbi asked him, are you allowed to brush my Talmidim? He asked me, can I brush teeth? And I said, this is the questioner telling the Diane Weiss, I told him you can't brush. I told him three reasons. Number one, it's schita. Number two, you're going to break the bristles, which the Shulchan Aruch talks elsewhere about breaking bristles. regarding brooms and other things. And third, you're smoothing the toothpaste. I tell them it's asa. That's what the questioner says. And therefore, I ask you, Diane Weiss, what do you think? Did I tell them right or wrong? Diane Weiss says, yeah, that's right. All those things should be asa. You're smoothing, it's memareach, and you're squeezing, and you're going to break the bristles. And I think there's another reason why it should be asa. Because look what I underlined. The Gemara talks about a case where you scratch the back of an animal. They had a back scratcher. The animals had back scratchers. And they would have back scratchers, and they would scratch the backs of the animals. I don't know, because animals like massages, or maybe it was to get rid of the lice. I don't know exactly why they did it. And the Gemara says, you can't do that with a kli miyuchel l'kach because it's uvdan d'chol. So in the same way, you're not allowed to scratch the back of a, it's the same motion. You have something that has stuff sticking out, points, bristles, you're scratching, you're rubbing, it's uvdan d'chol. So, hey, I would say the brushing of teeth is uvdan d'chol. That's what he puts forth. And he says, even if you have a special Shabbos toothbrush, there's no malacha. So that's the point. It's not a malacha. It's uvdan d'chol. It's like riding your bike on Shabbos. I can't tell you what malacha you're violating. It's more than not Shabbos thing. It's uvdan d'chol. So he does. He does. Thank you. We will see why Rabbi Avadya rejects the concern for Rabbi Rebbe. But look at the third line of this tshuva. In the middle of 10, you see this, it says tshuva underneath what I underlined. Bevadai, right underneath the underlined line. Bevadai yesh lachosh mishum asiyas chabura. Right? It's very concerning that it often happens that people bleed when they brush their teeth, which is definitely the case. So therefore, it should be a problem of chabura, of causing bleeding. And therefore, it's going to be aser. So look at the last concluding line of Diane Weiss. Vein heter elim, right before 11. Vein heter elim kol el lo yasela. He's paraphrasing a pasuk of a husband treating his wife with all the things that he has to do for his wife. Right. Lo mayim, you can't use water to avoid the squeezing. Velo meshicha, you can't use toothpaste because of the memachik, the iser smoothing. And you have to make sure the bristles don't break. Lo yechshash akius neem, and the bristles shouldn't break. Velo asiyas chabur, you have to make sure no one's going to bleed. And it can't be the same toothbrush you use all week because it's uvdan d'chol, and therefore you have to have a special toothbrush for Shabbos.
But it's the same action, same.
So the answer is that when it comes to the uvdan d'chol, the only problem is that you're using a kli hamiyuchad l'kach. You're using a kli that you do during the weeks. That's why it's uvdan d'chol.
The same toothbrush, right? Can I use a back scratcher that says on
a
Shabbos?
You're saying if you have an animal back scratcher, you know, black Shabbos one all week and a pink one for Shabbos, you know, bright colored, what? A Shabbos bicycle. Very good. Yeah. So he's all very good. Solves all the problems. Okay. So now, Rabbi Osai, we presented what I would say are the shittas of the Machmirim. And now we're going to chip away. Again, I'm telling you, I follow Ramosha. Ramosha is a Machmir in this sugya. But I will tell you why some are more makel than Ramosha. So when people come and say that you're not allowed to brush your teeth at all, when let me rephrase that, when 9-year-old girls come to my house and say you're not allowed to brush the teeth at all, they're being even more machmir than machmir. Because we're going to see right now that there are those who even permit toothpaste, as you could well imagine why. We'll see. We're all familiar with polishing silver. You take silver, and you take this stuff called Haggerty's, silver polish, and you rub it. Somehow, magically, I don't know exactly what it does. It deoxidizes the oxidation. I just made up those words, so I don't really know what it does. And you rub this, you probably do, you rub the Haggerty's on the silver and it rubs off the tarnish and the silver gleams. Apparently it was gleaming the whole time. You just had to get the gook off of it, I assume, right? It was gleaming. You just have stuff on top and the stuff only comes up when you use this special silver polish. So what if I want to polish any item that I have and get the gook off? Says the Gemara in Shabbos, Nun Amud Aleph, in source number 11. B'chol chafenes hakelim. You're allowed to do any rubbing of any kli with anything, with one exception. Chutz mi kli kesef, begar tikkun. You could shine any item that you want on Shabbos, except you could rub any item that you want on Shabbos. You could polish any item that you want to polish on Shabbos. You could, you know, polish the windows, shine the, you know, polish the windows. What? Glasses, windows, the wall, whatever it is, your farberware pots, you could shine them, you could polish them, no problem. Except one thing, silver with gartikun. Well, what's gartikun? Zokturashi, chutz mi klikas begartikun. Rashi explains on the bottom of the page, kmin afar, shegoda bechavil shoyayim. There's this material that grows in wine barrels. Vikoron lo alum.
It's called primo tower.
That is incredible.
I've just learned about it today.
Yes, that's exactly what we're going to say in the next line. Yes, Baruch Sheikh, I have no idea how you knew that, but whatever. Okay. I thought cream of tart is like the stuff they make, like Worcestershire sauce from.
The white residual
inside wine glass. Yeah, that's what he says here. According to, look what I have here in that little. And this is v'hu ikur tikun klei kesef. This is the primary way to fix klei kesef, and you rub it because the kesef is soft. Look what Rashi says. Rashi's a smart man. Silver is a very soft metal. How do I know that? Because of all the dents in my bechers. But whenever it's dropped and banged and what? I think it's not just that it's not thick. I think it's also because it's a softer metal. I believe. I think. What? Okay, so soft. So either way, the fact that Rashi's pointing out that it's soft is important. It sounds like it's only usher because as you're smoothing it, as you're polishing it, you're
not really. You're
something it. I don't know what I mean. And then he says, and this will be Mamachi, which is an Av Malacha. Okay, probably, I think that's a nice way of saying it, that polishing silver would be with this cream of tartar, it's also Doraisa. So, just so you know, the next top of page 3, this is, as the guy, whoever, that commentary on Rashi, if between the plus signs, it says that it seems from Rashi's description, I have it in, if you see it on the screen, it's in blue. If you're looking on the bottom of page 2, you'll see it's in between two plus signs. It says, according to Rashi's description, it sounds like his kavanah is du tartaret ha'ashlagan. Du means by, tartar is tartar, by tartar or by tartrate, ashlagan, potassium. So what's potassium bitartrate, also known as whatever, formula KC4H5O6. That's what you're thinking, right? From a byproduct of wine making and cooking, it is known as cream of tartar. And cream of tartar, when it's mixed into a paste with hydrogen peroxide, can be used to clean rust from some hand tools. Fine. So what do you see? Rashi knows exactly what Wikipedia knew. That's from Wikipedia, and that's what Rashi said. Okay, so now why are we getting into the chemistry of cream of tartar? Because the Gemara said that you're allowed to polish anything and everything with anything and everything with one exception. With silver using cream of tartar. So if the Gemara says explicitly, you could do any polishing you want. So what about polishing teeth with toothpaste? Is there cream of tartar, potassium by... When you manufacture toothpaste, do you put in potassium bitartrate? I'm asking Jamie. He manufactures toothpaste. Jamie, when you manufacture toothpaste, do you put in potassium bitartrate, otherwise known as potassium hydrogen tartrate, otherwise known as cream of tartar, in your toothpaste? Okay. I don't think he uses hydrogen peroxide. That's like, that would hurt. That's like, I don't know. You wouldn't put that in a child's mouth. Okay, you'll get back to us if either you'll take it with you.
Does it have to be the actual ingredient, cream of tartar, or something that will have similar properties?
I don't know. I don't know.
Cream of tartar is an acid.
Okay. It's an acid.
And so is the boric acid that the Rav said before, the boraxo, which is boric acid.
Yeah, that was just. not talking about it as its use as an answer. That was just talking about it, its form as like a soap bar that you're going to smooth off.
But you used it to clean your hands. Mm-hmm. Some people even do more. They use pumice stone, which is a real stone, to rub the off skin from the hands to clean it.
All right, so that was talking about a different...
But boric acid does the same principle.
I hear. What are you saying, Sean?
It's also an acid. They think about the food that they baking soda or baking powder. It's
not maturating early.
Between the two, of course, it's leavening.
Okay.
You are listening to BensTorah.com.
Is, in a sense, an acid.
Okay. So he's saying maybe other acids might be possibly used.
Remember what I was telling you yesterday?
So Shalom is saying that you're actually removing some of the silver as you... So Shalom is saying that the way it works scientifically with the polish is that you're actually removing some of the silver particles to make it gleam. So it's not like I thought. I thought it was gleaming there and just had gook on it. You're saying no. You're actually removing some of the oxidized outer layer of silver. Okay, that could be. I don't know. Rashi says memafek would be an af malacha. That sounds like a derisa.
He's saying that.
No. He says this is memafek, which is an af malacha. It sounds from Rashi that it's clearly it's as explicit as I think Rashi could make himself be. Comes with Soloveitchik, as quoted in Rav Shechter's Sefer Nefesh HaRav, and he has a section about what Rav Soloveitchik's thought about toothbrushing with toothpaste. And here we have it on page 168 of Nefesh HaRav. Rabbeinu, Rav Soloveitchik, not like Ramosha Feinstein, not like Diane Weiss, you're allowed to use toothpaste on Shabbos. Why? I think we explained, I took it from here. How could you say there's memachik? There's a refresh of rice on Shabbos Daf Nun that says explicit, you're allowed to rub any kli with any material except one. One kind of kli with one kind of material, and that's keseb b'gar tikkun. If you're not talking about Kesef, if you're not talking about Gatskun, it should be Mutter. Deleka Isra Memachik, B'meisius Alech L'Kamet. There's no Memachik by smoothing the stuff, by getting dirt off your teeth. That's not called Memachik. That's one point. Nor could you say that as you're doing, if you think Memachik is smoothing out, you can't say that you're smoothing out the enamel and you're rubbing off a little bit of enamel, because if you brush your teeth every day and you're removing a little bit of an enamel, then day after day, twice a day or more, you'd be left with not much teeth. So clearly, when you brush your teeth, you're not removing the enamel. So don't say it's smoothing and that you're removing the enamel. Okay, that can't be. What? Okay, let's leave that aside for now. Agreed. Let's leave that aside for now. One of the students raised in Shir, wait a second, maybe the concern for that those who are machmeh, that's memachik, aren't worried that you're rubbing away the enamel, but they're worried that you're putting on, you're smoothing the toothpaste onto the teeth. So when Rav Soloveitchik heard that argument, he responded similarly. He responded that there's no iser, the iser of memachik is when you're putting on a new layer. When you're putting a layer, when you're brushing your teeth, you can't tell me that you're putting on a layer and you're smoothing that layer onto the teeth. Why? Because a layer that's being put onto the teeth, even if it would be true microscopically, but practically it's invisible. You can't see that layer. So if you'll tell me that you're rubbing the teeth, that's not true. If you'll tell me that you're putting some layer on your teeth, says the Soloveitchik, it's not a layer that's a meaningful enough layer to be halachically significant. To say it's memachik and it's nizr deraisa or nizr of whatever, it has to be something that's visible, that could be recognizable. If it's going to be this invisible shield, that's not layer that they're claiming you're putting on is not halachically significant. And even if it's true that it's there, if you look at what he says on the bottom, he says, "What about the advertisement say yeah, that does leave some layer?" He says, "First of all, I don't believe it, even if it's what they advertise, and even if it's true, it's not going to be concerning halachically, because anything that's invisible can't be a malach."
So when you get your teeth cleaned and a dentist, the last thing they do, they put that special tartar, I guess.
They put fluoride, no? Paste, they only do that in Long Island. When I was in New York, They didn't do that. Because the water is fluoridated. Fluoridated. I don't think so. I think it's putting... I think it's still invisible. And it's not smoothed on. Yeah, I don't think that would be a problem. They put it on, they put it in, and they let it sit there. I guess it goes into the teeth. I don't know what it does. I don't know how it works, but I don't think that would be. What? Probably, okay. It's a small coating. But again, it's an invisible coating. It's not, you can't see it. When you come out after the dental clean and you look at the mirror, you don't see it. You know, I always get a creamsicle, right? What flavor do you get? You get mint, so I get orange creamsicle because it brings me back to my my days in camp when I was like in, you know, 7 or 8 years old. I love those orange creamsicles from camp. So that's why I always answer orange creamsicle. My teeth, and I look in the mirror, I don't have orange teeth. And you don't have green teeth after you get your mint. So even if there's some tiny film, it's meaningless. That's what Salvechik is saying. So Halacha Maitre Bosai Salvechik argues on Rav Moshe and Dayan Weiss and says, your mom is allowed to use, again, he didn't get into the schita aspect, but he holds you're allowed to use toothpaste. So when those 9-year-old girls come and say, you're not allowed to brush your teeth on Shabbos, not only are you allowed to brush your teeth, at least the way Rav Moshe says, but Rav Moshe Salvechik would even allow with toothpaste. Okay. Now, I want to bring another svara that Rav Avadya cites to be matir using toothpaste against Rav Moshe and Rav Dayan Weiss. And this is based on a line in the Shulchan Aruch and the commentary of the Magen Avraham on the Shulchan Aruch. So if you look on the bottom of page 3, the Shulchan Aruch says the following. You know, nowadays we live in very we live among very proper people. And except if you're in a baseball dugout, people don't spit, right? If you're in a baseball dugout, somehow it's mutter. You know what it's like? It's like you're allowed to use your hand when you eat wings, right? If you eat wings, it's mutter to use your hands. You know what I mean? It's mutter. Wings, you could be those proper thing where they put out wings. You could be a cannibal and a barbarian. Ribs, not as much as wings. Wings, mamish, you know. Okay, so we don't spit. But in the olden days, if you had dirt floors, what would you do? People would spit and then rub it into the floor with their shoe, right? Dan, does that sound pretty disgusting? Can you imagine spitting and then like just rubbing into the floor? That's what people used to do. That was normal.
People had spit.
Oh yeah, I don't know that. Okay, says the Shulchan Aruch, lo yishashe biraglav. You're not allowed to rub with your feet, rope al gabi karka. The spittle that's on the floor, you're not allowed to rub it into the ground with your feet. Why? Because you're smoothing out the ground. Misha mashre gumas. Aval, but you are allowed to step on it and walk as you go. Aval, mutu le dorsal fitumo, shena miskavin, because that's not your intent to smooth it. Fine. What isn't it happening automatically as you're walking over it, sort of unintentionally. Because we're going to look for a leniency because it's a little disgusting to leave it there. Again, imagine that there's actually phlegm. So if you're just walking on it, not as, so it looks like you're just walking on it and stepping on it, not actually like going out of your way to smush it into the ground, that the Shulchan Aruch said would be okay. Comes the Shulchan Aruch and says, why are we saying that we're worried that you're going to smooth the dirt? What about smoothing the spit onto the dirt? Why does the Shulchan Aruch only say, avoid it because you're going to be flattening the bumpy dirt? Forget the bumpy dirt. You're smoothing the gook into the spit, into the dirt itself, onto the ground itself. Tzarech Iyun asks the Magen Avraham, top of page 4. Delitzel, let it be Azmer Shemiruch Atzmo. You're smoothing it itself. Look what he says. And this line is very important. The Magen Avraham is going to tell us, you're sewed in mimareach, smoothing. V'yesh lomar, d'mimareach lo shayach ela kishe kavanaso, sheyismareach davar al gabe chaveiro. Mimareach, smoothing, is only when you want to smooth something onto something else. As opposed to by the ground, you don't want to smooth the spit onto the, in a smooth position, a smooth finish covering onto the ground. Here, by the spit, you want it to be absorbed into the ground. You're like, want to bury it, exactly. So what is the Magen Avraham saying? He says that memaref is only when you put one thing on top of another thing. When you're smoothing something, not into, but on top of. You're putting a what? Like what?
Peanut butter on bread.
Peanut butter, yeah. So except that's food. So let's put that aside. So
let's talk about diaper rash cream. Diaper rash cream is something that you would
say. Yeah, diaper rash cream that you want to smooth on the back on the baby's tush. You want to smooth it out on top of the tush. You don't want it to. You're not trying to. You're not gonna. You know, stick it into the. You know, needles and inject it into the.
Moisturizer or
right. Like a moisturizer goes into the skin. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about something you put on top. That says the Magen Avraham should be mutter. So comes Rav Avadia and says. Echoing what Ellie just said, if you look on page 4, 1, 2, 3, like 4 paragraphs down, the paragraph starts, V'hosafnu tavlin dvrayim. I'm going to add some taste, some flavor to what they said. We're not going to go into what they said right now. And I underlined. Look what I underlined. Lo shayach isu v'machig u'memareach, ela kisharotze b'kiyumo. You have to want that stuff that you're adding and smoothing to remain, to be there. When you want it to stay there, you want to put something on top of another thing, rub it on, and rub it on smoothly. So, for example, like the cream on the baby's bottom, you want to rub that cream in a smooth way so that it will stay there and be as a coating on top of the baby's tush. When you have toothpaste, you don't want to position the toothpaste and spread it around so that it could stay on your teeth till tomorrow morning. No, you want to rub it. It will do whatever it does magically. I don't know how it works.
It emulsifies the...
Okay, so it emulsifies the tartar, and that cleans the, gets rid of the tartar, and then you have your teeth the way they should be, without anything on it. Right, so your goal is not to leave it on, your goal is to let it do what it's got to do, and then have it spit out, so you could be left with your uncovered teeth. What? Right, but hand soap's concern might be different, because there you're smoothing the soap bar itself. But yeah, when you use hand soap, oh, yeah, well, let's talk about liquid hand soap. Liquid hand soap, same thing. Liquid hand soap, you're not trying to keep the soap on top of your... What?
What are you trying to do about liquid hand soap?
Same thing, what did Shalom just said? You're emulsifying the... You're disintegrating the particles of oil. And same thing. No, I'm saying it's the same thing. Hand soap and toothbrushing should theoretically be the same thing. The way Shalom's explaining how this fluoride thing works, or how toothpaste works, if that's what it's doing. Emulsifying means...
Oil's okay?
What? You're allowed to put oil on your body, yes. Because the air goes into your body. Oil goes into your skin, right? Yes, exactly. Going in is okay. That's what the Magen Avraham just said on the top line. Shmushing the spit into the ground is fine. And it's a liquid. That's liquid. If it's a thick thing and it goes in, this line of Rabbi Avadia says might not be a problem. You have to want it to be there in a layer. Fine. I want to finish just with one or two interesting ha'aras. Maybe... You could, no, one can argue, one has argued. The Shas Hatshuva is Ohel Moshe, Rabbi Yonah Zweig, Shlita, apparently. I don't know who he is. Wrote the Sefer Ohel Moshe, and there he puts forth that maybe it should be also because of Refuah. Shchika Samimonim. What's the difference if you put some other medicated thing in here? This has sodium fluoride, right? That's a medication, isn't it?
Thank you.
Yeah.
So you're distinguishing between hygiene and hygiene health versus refuah. Good. So you're all making very good points. So except he's a Talmud Chacham and he knows that there happens to be a Tosefta that says you're not supposed to put a dry sam. The Tosefta says don't put a sam yavesh, a dry potion, on your teeth when you want to heal your teeth. So it sounds pretty much like toothpaste. Some potion on your teeth, No? Okay, that's who the Tosefta is talking about. I don't know what it was talking about.
That's if there's a problem with your team, that's not a problem. That's not absorbing the problem.
And isn't it fascinating that the ADA is the one who writes the haskamas on the bottom of your teeth, of toothpaste? So maybe that's Megala, that there's something medicinal about it. Anyway, says Rav Avadia, all the arguments that you said, that it's only a protective, a prophylactic, protective, preventative. It's not a healing of a sickness. If somebody has a cavity, they could brush their teeth from today to tomorrow. The brushing teeth will not fix their cavities. What? I don't know. If you have gingivitis and you will brush your teeth with toothpaste, well, that will improve your gingivitis?
Halitosis.
What?
Halitosis.
I don't know what that is.
Bad breath.
Oh, bad breath. So that's not, I don't know if, you know, under normal circumstances, that might not be a sickness. We all have bad breath as part of being human.
Yeah.
And, you know, until we wash our teeth. So either way, he says, come on, that's not a revival. He says, that's not a refuah. Then he talks about, is it nolad? We're not going to talk about nolad. Then he talks about, I want to finish with this. What about the concern for bleeding? That's what's really raised before. What about the concern for bleeding? So here, Rav Avadia says, on the bottom of page 4, right above the bullet point. If you see about 3 paragraphs on the bottom, we'll be concerned, lastly, with the concern of that sefer raised, that when you use a toothbrush, I underline the words, so shouldn't that be a psikresha? It's happened so often that you bleed, and we know that you're not allowed to cause someone to bleed, and that should be, you know, that just forget all the other issues, you're just causing bleed, that should be a problem. So says Rav Avadia, I know that when you brush teeth, it often causes bleeding. But that's not what the word psikresha means. Let's just review the words psikresha. Psikresha means you are intending to do A, and B definitively happens. I want to get the orange juice from the fridge, and the light goes on. My goal wasn't to turn on the light in the fridge, but every time you open the fridge door to get the orange juice, it goes on. But what happens when you take the paper towels near the sink in the shuls and bathroom, public bathrooms? You pull a paper towel. What happens when you pull the paper towel? Always? No. That's not called a psikresha then. And therefore, it's mutil chatchila to pull the paper towel even if it does rip. You know why? Because since it's not what you intended, you're not intending to rip. And if it rips, it sometimes does rip, or sometimes doesn't rip. That's not called a psikresha. That's called a davar she'eino miskaven, which is mutil lechatchila. And therefore, if you brush your teeth and it bleeds every single time, you're right. It's a psikresha and it's aser. But if you brush your teeth and you don't bleed every time, that's not a psikresha. Even if you end up bleeding in this given time, that's only a davar she'eino miskaven. You intend to brush your teeth, not to make yourself bleed. And it doesn't happen that you bleed every time. So you're not intending to do it. And it doesn't happen every time. That's mutar l'chatchila. What happens if most of the times you do bleed? Says Rav Avadia, rogue does not make it a psikresha. It has to be always. So if you bleed 2 out of 3, it's still mutar l'chatchila to brush your teeth. And here Rav Avadia seems to be saying that you're allowed to use toothpaste. Rav Salvezhik says you're allowed to use toothpaste. If you want to be machmir, you could be machmir like Rav Moshe Feinstein and Diane Weiss, who say you shouldn't use toothpaste. This is what I do. I don't use toothpaste. I don't wet my toothbrush beforehand. Rav Salvezhik and Rav Avadia weren't worried about that also. He has a long tshuva that we're not going to go into. So if you want to, what?
Use a special brush.
I don't use a special brush. If I had a second brush available, I would use a different brush, but I don't. Rav Moshe doesn't say you should have a special brush. The Minchas Yitzchak says you should have a special brush because of the concern for the dechal. Rav Moshe doesn't specify that. That's the space in the same halacha. That's the dechal, and also to make sure there won't be one that will tear out here.
It's not a bristle brush. The
very soft one.
Spread far.
Okay,
if you,
see.
If you brush here, you don't find yours.
Okay, fine. So,
flossing,
what? According to Moshe, flossing will be fine if you don't. According to, I'm sorry, this is analysis, it's not just this is accepted halacha. If when you floss, you do not bleed every time, you are permitted to floss on Shabbos. The question with cutting the dental floss afterwards, cutting beforehand would be a very aser, because you're cutting to a certain size, that's called mechatech. Whenever you cut to size, cutting afterwards, I'm not sure if it's aser. I don't want to say it's definitely mutter, But cutting strings are sometimes mutter. You're not cutting for a size. What? If you buy those floss picks, what?
Placards,
whatever they're called. Yeah, a bow, a little thing that has that little piece of floss on it. That's definitely mutter. And again, if you want to floss with a dental floss and just leave the string there, definitely fine. If your wife will scream at you, so there are other issues that, what? Or if you cut it before Shabbos, definitely fine.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.